let me tell you this quick story about an avant conversation I had. I'm kind of your neighbor to the south. I live in Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, to be specific. Like I said, I'm an East Coast boy. I'm from Washington, D.C. And if you've ever been to the East Coast, some of you are from the East Coast. You're out here going to school or hanging out doing one thing or another. But you know how East Coast people are. We think too much. We talk too much. We talk too quickly. We drink way too much coffee. And we're far too opinionated for our own good. And you'll walk the streets of Washington, D.C. or Manhattan, New York, and you'll see people carrying like 90-ounce bongo cups of coffee, which they just inhale through straws, and they're either on their cell phone or screaming at the person next to them. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. I'm fucking. Awesome. When we're amongst ourselves, you take us out of that mix and drop us anywhere else, and we stick out. We look like we've been overcome by some kind of infestation of the mind. We look like we do our own stash of crystal meth instead of selling it to 9-year-olds. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. And so there I am, stuck in Hollywood, California, the place where the intellect and culture has gone to die. And why do I live there after a quarter of a century? It's where my cum-stained futon washed up years ago, and that's my only excuse. And so there I am, trying to function as an East Coast psycho in the land of the laid back. And perhaps you might find this offensive, but laid back people make me angry. Nice people make me nervous. I just can't take it. Someone goes, hey man, you know, how are you? Shut the fuck up before I kill you. That's how I am. What are you going to do? And so I live in Hollywood between tours, and it's excruciating because I just don't fit in. And so every once in a while, I go to the food store, stupidly. I go out into L.A. traffic, which doesn't move. You've been down there. It's horrible. And so after an hour and a half, I've gone half a mile. I should have just walked. And I walk into this health food store I buy all my food at, and I always get the same guy who just works on his hair. He's a hair guy. He's always, like, rolling his hair into these things. And I have my 12 food items, and he talks to me between scanning items over the infrared. Hey, man. So, I'm looking at your aura, right? And your aura has like a lot of red spiked with yellow, which means you have pent-up aggression and hostility and overwhelming amounts of tension. So, like, how are you, man? And not like the you that, like, we see, like, in a magazine, but, like, the real you. I mean, the inner you, the you that has no walls, the you that has no boundary, you know, the you that just wants to come out and just say, hi, I'm me, accept me for who I am. I mean, how is that you? You know, you're turning kind of purple, man. And your eyes are starting to bulge, and you're... Why are you trembling, man? I'm like, you little motherfucker. If you don't ring out the next 8 items of my food in the next 4 seconds, I'm gonna stab you in the fucking face like one of the fucking Manson girls. Let's go! Of course, the rest of the food is just hurled into a bag, and I get my provisions for free. So, why would I live in such a place where there's no place or no one to have a real conversation with? And to me, Hollywood is this place where everyone has come from other places to make it. They want to be Axl Rose or Pamela Anderson or, you know, something that they could not be in Illinois. And so they went out there to realize a dream. And if you live in the middle of Hollywood, you'll see these people. They used to be in the hair band. Now they drive a UPS truck. They came out to be an actress. Now they act on a brass pole to a Nine Inch Nails CD. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, people came in one thing, they found out the hard reality, and now there's something else, and it's intense. But there's no one really to talk to, because everyone is career motivated. They're talking about, like, who they're sleeping with, what couch they're being casted upon, and what series they're going to get, what's in development, and what they have over at Fox or Warner Brothers. And they just don't have anything that appeals to me. Not that I'm some kind of yardstick of knowledge or intensity or wisdom, but I get lonely out there, because there's just no one to hang around with. And if you're a guy like me who likes women, you want to go out on a date every once in a while. And like a lot of you guys, you're tired of just going out on a Saturday night with the roofies and the duct tape to a shopping mall. You know, some people call it abduction. And you know, my main problem with it's just so 80s. You know, it's just been done. And in some places, a lot of places, it's illegal. And the conversation sucks. It's like, so, you know, how do you feel about this? And you shouldn't do stuff like that. And so I go out on real dates, which is, it's a tragedy. You know how you guys are. You go out on dates, and you don't know what to talk about. So you're driving somewhere, and you have your hand on the wheel, and here's the female sitting next to you. And you want to say something. Now, one thing that guys fall into, and you women have been put through this, where the guy will throw out the topic that he knows everything about, so he can be king of the conversation. And you are just the person who seeks wisdom and knowledge from the almighty source who has his hand on the wheel. So the guy will say something like, so what do you think of the migrational habits of the snowy egret? Huh? Well, I'm glad you asked. The snowy egret can be found on the East Coast, around Delaware, Chincoteague, Assateague, places like that. Around September, October, you'll see them dropping some of their plumage. They get better lift as they go south to spend the winter in the Carolinas, sometimes a little bit more south of that. And in the spring, the female snowy egret will lay 1 to 3 eggs, depending on the local food supply, and the girl's eyes glaze over. And that's not the way to go out on a date. Another thing that guys do, I've done it, some of you guys have done it, you women have been put through this many times. The guy does the high fidelity thing to you, where he puts you through the battery of lists, top three this, top five that, because he's trying to glean information as to your innermost workings by finding out what your three favorite foreign films are. And if he can find out those, and if he likes those films, then you're okay with him. If you think you can judge anyone by such shallow criteria, you're out of your freaking mind. And never do it. Okay, I always do it. I can't help it. I'm driving. What can I talk about? Don't talk about snowy egrets. It sucks. And so, my resolve wears down, and finally I give in. So what are the three albums you're listening to right now, like all the time? Well, I'm listening to the new Nickelback. Get the fuck out of my car! And tearfully, she leaves. The date is over. I guess I'm looking for a woman who reads, who thinks. I want a reader. I want one of them readers. I want a woman who can sit me down, shut me up, tell me 10 things I don't already know, and make me laugh. And if you can do that, I will follow you on bloody stumps through the snow. I will soften your mucklucks with my own teeth. And so you go out with a girl and you ask, so what are you reading? And there's a horrible thing that happens in this country. You meet people who don't read. Yes, they can read, but they choose not to. Like, so what book are you into right now? I'm not much of a reader. Huh? See, when I become president, I'm going to make the day 28 hours. It's going to be a 28-hour day. They're going to have to move some things around. It's going to be a 28-hour day. Why do you need 28 hours? Because you're going to be given 4 hassle-free hours in a well-lit room that's comfortable with a book, cell phones off, and you're just going to read. And millions of Americans are going to fall in love with that thing that so many of us sitting in this room right now are in love with. There's nothing better than a great book. And you never want them to end. You see the book coming to an end, you're like, no. You start slowing down the rate of page turning. You read the words slower and slower. You put the bookmark back 25 pages. Whoops. Sometimes you have an author you like so much, you buy the new book, you put it on the shelf, and you walk by it for a year just looking at it like, I know you're there, and I can read you whenever I want. I'll just pat you. I'll just rub your spine. I could read the back cover. No, I'm not. No, I'm just going to wait. Just knowing you're there to alleviate boredom, to take me on a wonderful journey. And for myself personally, if I could dig up 10 people who are dead, if I could hang out on an airplane with them for 14 hours and talk with them, there'd be a couple of musicians. I wouldn't mind meeting someone like Duke Ellington or Miles Davis or John Coltrane, but most of my heroes I'd like to hang out with would be writers, because to them, they to me are the most interesting. Like, how the hell did you come up with that? that? How did you make a novel? How did you make a book that kept me with you for 900 pages, for 500 pages, shit, for 10 pages? How did you make that character so compelling to me that I see myself in it? How did F. Scott Fitzgerald describe a summer night where I can smell it coming off the page? And if only you could do that to someone else, you know, you see why writers are such mean motherfuckers, because they try to do that every day. And most of the time they can't do it. And that's why, you know, they're horrible people, you know. So you're a writer. Yeah, I'm a fucking writer. Okay. He must be good because he knows what a shitty job it is. And so there I am. Sorry, I got off the topic. There I am on the date with a girl. And so I'm driving. So what are you reading right now? He asked expectantly. I'm not much of a reader. I'm not much of a dinner buyer. Get the fuck out of my car. You're gone. But every once in a while, it's different. So what are you reading? Well, I'm in the middle of a book right now that I really like. Oh my God, she's reading. So, he asked with great interest, what are you reading? Hoping for dental charms. Lautrement, Baudelaire, Kolebnikov. Oh, who are you reading? Who are you reading? We can talk about books all night. Who are you reading? Oh my God. I'm in the third book of Harry Potter. Don't be an adult woman to be reading a fucking child's book in my car. Get the fuck out. It is obvious. I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. So... I'm sorry, I got off the topic. Basically, what I'm trying to tell you is there's not really a great conversation to be had in Hollywood. Or so I thought. I was wrong about that.